Emmett Durche is joining us. He's the superintendent of the Berlin Area School District. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Wow. Thanks for having me out on this balmy day. Like, it's not negative 45, right? Yeah. I mean, so this feels pretty nice. I was out there with my shorts this morning. No. Right? Like, the listeners on the radio can't tell that whether I'm wearing shorts or not, right?
Isn't that how it works? Some video online yesterday of two cans of Diet Coke that were left out in the cold and exploded.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You can just imagine what that's doing to your stomach lining. But anyway.
Exactly.
Not to downgrade Diet Coke, because I used to drink that quite
sure,
a bit.
Sure, yeah.
So. And I've got a friend that is, you know, hopelessly addicted to it. So
Yeah, you have to be careful. Yeah, we have a big debate in our family about Coke versus Pepsi. Right?
Oh, sure.
So that's an ongoing debate.
Yeah, my sister is a Coca-Cola drinker. So.
Yeah, me too. If I have a soda, I don't drink a lot of soda, but I prefer Coke over Pepsi. But my daughter is diehard Pepsi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she won't drink Coke.
I can't sleep at night. Maybe it's the sixth, you know, the sixth Coca-Cola she had during the course of the day.
It just might be. Yeah.
No, she's not that bad.
Yeah.
So the board met last night. They conducted some business. One of the things that you had on your agenda was the annual audit.
Yeah.
How did that come out?
Really well. So I think just so your listeners understand, so school districts, as just like other organizations, have an outside partner that works. We pay them to audit our books and so forth. And it was maybe just it was a clean audit. It was very positive. And she was there at the meeting virtually to talk through with the board. I'm proud of a lot of things we've done in the last few years. So I've shared on the air before that we're a smaller district with declining enrollment, and we've had to go on to referendum a couple times and failed both of those. Like, unfortunately, many districts have gone to referendum. Actually, close to 90% of the school districts in Wisconsin have had to go to operational referendum at this point. And many pass and many fail. And so because of that, we've had to make some big cuts. I've shared that too. Like the last couple of years, we've have to cut combined almost $3 million in cuts, so about $1 million+ a year. This coming year, it's going to be a little less. But with the audit, we're proud that despite that and our cuts and our right size in the district, we've been able to slightly increase our fund balance, which is like the difference between our expenses and our revenue. So our savings account, so to speak, has gone up a little bit over time. We've been able to put more money into our capital improvements, passed a couple improvements yesterday. Our high school's 30 years old, so we're able to fund some new lighting in the theater and some flooring, that both of which are 30 years old. And even with all of that, we've been able to keep our budget clean and so forth. So some will say, Dr. Durche, you're doing too good a job of making this all work. Like, now people will think you never need to actually ask for more, so to speak, right? But I do want to reassure everyone that despite all of that, if we had a better funding system in the state, we would be able to have better programming for kids. Because bottom line is, when we make cuts to write and balance the budget, and the auditors, you know, saying, hey, you guys are doing a great job with that. The truth is, within all of that, we're having to reduce staffing that are helping students, reduce programming and educational programs and extracurriculars that are helping students and so forth. So it's a complex web, as you know.
Right.
But that was really positive, and I'm proud of the work that I've done, our business director has done, our board has done over the last 3 years to take what might have been some lemons and turn it into lemonade, as they say. So, right?
Right.
Maybe a little bit bitter lemonade. There's not enough sugar in it.
Yeah.
It's still okay.
Recently, we had a Ripon School District superintendent in Ron Rivard.
Oh, yeah.
And
sure.
We talked a little bit about the fact that, you know, Oshkosh really had it tough.
Oh, yeah.
Having to cut, I think it was close to $6 million.
Yeah. Yeah,
that translated to like 55 jobs. And so.
Yeah, I know that. You can see in the news, they've had a lot of contentious debates over there about that. And I've been through it. I worked in Madison. I lived in the Madison area for 22 years, and I was a principal there, right in the Madison School District for 10 years. And they've had a lot of ups and downs with their budget. It's been a struggle down there. On the other side, they've had to go to referendum many times, and for both capital improvements, like they've had a large one recently. But I think that's part of my message maybe for the public too, which is we I both want to fund public schools, because I'm a big proponent of public schools and schools in general. I want all of our kids educated. I also want our taxpayers, because I know we have a lot of taxpayers, especially those that are paycheck to paycheck folks, right? And mm-hmm. I'm very aware of that, like in Berlin and our smaller areas, that I want to protect them from being overtaxed. So how do we do both of those things? And that would be my big question for the legislature, right, and the governor. Mm-hmm. How do we balance the need to not slide, like compared to other states, when it comes to our funding per pupil, while also protecting the taxpayer? I believe, and Governor Evers actually came to the state convention last week that I attended, and he said the same thing, which is, I think we can do a little bit of both of those, right? We can't do it all. Mm-hmm. But I mentioned right before I went on the air that our property taxes are due, right? The first half, at least, by this Saturday. And, you know, everybody, it's like they're, if you're paying property taxes like directly, if you're not a renter and you're paying directly, you know, you're keenly aware of taxes going up or down. And you can look right in your bill and see the different lines on there for the county, municipality, but also you see the school district. And it's confusing. I've shared with you before, like how mm-hmm. complicated the taxes and property tax system and school funding is. It's a very, I could spend 2-3 hours with you, you know, just going through all of that. But I would say that, like, we can do better at funding the schools while also protecting property tax mm-hmm. payers. And that would be my big message.
Well, is there a way to not have to see taxes go up every year for 400 years,
though? Yeah. You know, so that's a great question. So that was that 400-year veto, right? That mm-hmm. we know is a little bit of a political game, right? I mean, we know that nothing lasts for 400 years. In America, if it lasts for 3 or 4 years, you're, like, lucky. And just as a reminder, that veto essentially locked in $325 increase to the revenue limit for every pupil student in the state for the next 400 years. Well, that's not going to last. However, they also looked at, like, increasing aid for special ed. So our students who receive special ed services, that increased. So I guess there's a couple things. One, we have to look at the differences between districts. So I can speak for the Berlin Area School District, because mm-hmm. we are like a lot of other smaller districts. We, in the early 90s, when they implemented revenue limits. So that's where they locked school districts down based on what they'd been spending up to that point. The Berlin Area School District was a low-funded school district. We were one of the lower 25%, let's say, in the state. Mm-hmm. And we were locked in at that rate. Higher-funded school districts, or higher-spending districts, were locked in at a much higher rate. So due to the frugality of our community, like caring a lot about kids and education, but also doing it carefully and prudently and frugally, we were kind of penalized then with that system. And we've been living under that now for over 30 years, 33 years. Mm-hmm. Personally, what I would like to see would be some slight adjustment to the revenue limit at equalized aid, which is the way that we look at the formulas across the state, to allow for an increase in that revenue limit, but also some distribution more carefully across the state. We know that we have a surplus in the state. And I know whenever you say surplus, everybody that could possibly gain from that, right? You know, because it's not just schools, right? They get paid by the state budget. Want a little bit of that pie, right? I get that. At the same time, we have the ability to fund more from the state. So in short, there's like a pot of revenue, right, that school districts are allowed by state law to have. We're on the lower end of that in Berlin. And so I propose actually lower revenue districts have a little bit more of a bump than higher revenue districts. But that's another side point. But that pot gets filled from either – there's from local property taxes and state funding. Mm-hmm. So in Berlin, our school line on your property tax bills that are due this Saturday says like 13% increase. That does not mean the school district got 13% more. What it means is that the state – put less money into that pot. That means the property tax owners or, you know, property tax, those that are paying property tax in our area in the school district, their portion increased. Mm-hmm. And that's a super hard thing to understand, because if your bill comes out, you're just like, oh, the schools are getting more money. We're not. We're getting actually the same or slightly like mm-hmm. increase based on increase in costs, right? So Governor Evers is proposing a little more state funding so that that would be – they call it property tax relief. So essentially what that means is that portion of that cup of revenue for schools, more of the state funds would go in, which comes from income tax and other sources, so that local property taxpayers pay a little bit less in their bill. Mm-hmm. And he's proposing not increasing state income tax, but actually using a little more of the surplus to offset that property tax. So in short, that's where that – when they talk about property tax relief, that's what they're really talking about, is funding more of the state side of schools, mm-hmm. the funding, than the local taxpayers, which I support. It's really hard, like in Berlin, for those that are on a fixed income to see their taxes go up when the schools that are actually right there down the street are not benefiting from that. It's just that the state's paying less.
Yeah, it's hard for people to understand that.
Yeah, it's super complicated. I mean, yeah. I've had this conversation that I'm, you know, share with you over and over again with community members. Not that they're angry, they just, it's confusing. Right, there's nothing when you open your property tax bill up that explains that, and so how would they know unless they, you know, hear us talk about it or they read the paper if it happens to be in there or they search online, and it's complicated. But I know that the current budget, and they're starting to talk about the next budget, but the current budget goes from 2025 to 2027. But now they're starting to talk about some fixes to it or future fixes. I would hope that part of that, one, reduces the dependency on local property taxpayers, and two, reduces the need to go to operational referendum. I think the idea that we're going to fund more and more of our public schools by the common vote of the people is doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Like, the state is requiring and has since the beginning of our state compulsory education, you know, the need for a quality public education system for all of our students that has, you know, all students have access. We should be able to do that in a way that both is strong, but also fiscally prudent, but also doesn't have these ups and downs and tax levels to help us maybe more have a steady kind of, you know, tax system that doesn't rely on the constant need to go back to the voters for referendum. We'll see.
Well, if folks aren't happy about it, they'll say it in November with their votes.
I think so. You know, and maybe one last thought there too is I actually do believe in these cases that there's a combination of state and local control. And school boards actually know quite a bit. I work with them all the time, right, in our school board. They know more than a lot of others about how it actually impacts us locally. And I wish they had a little more control over making those decisions. And they're elected by the public. And they're their neighbors that are running for school board. And they're there. They're very careful with those dollars. They live within our budget. We're forced to live within our budget. They know when we have to, like, cut cleaning supplies or books or reduce staff. Those are hard decisions. They're making those decisions. So I wish they were also empowered to make some of these financial decisions. But they... A lot, I would say most of it is out of their control.
Right.
And I would love to bring a little more fiscal control back to the local level.
Emmett, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure. It's always fun.
Appreciate it. That is Emmett Durche, who is the superintendent of the Berlin Area School District. We appreciate him stopping by this morning.